Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Wednesday, ready to rock and roll. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, four Badger and Packer running back, hanging on out. We're giving some life advice in here. That's always a good thing. That's always a fun thing to do. And we're helping our friend Joe Zanzola out, Radio Joe Zanzola.
It's nice to have a co-worker.
Isn't it nice, though? It does give you the warm and fuzzy feeling inside. I like that.
Dan Richards.
I really enjoy being a nice person. And like Dan Richards, he can tell you all about that. Also, some nice people. At Perkins, as they support the 13th annual Perkins Restaurant Bakery's fan charity golf outing, guys benefiting Give Kids the World. We're almost 1 month out from September 25th. $125, great day of golf, gives you breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a chance to golf with guys like us from The Fan. And you can't sign up right now at 1057FMTheFan.com. Randy's Big Show here on The Fan. That's Gary Ellerson, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Hello.
Hanging out with you till 6 o'clock. Jeez. And last night was, once again, as we start the show, and you guys know I'm a huge Brewer fan. I got my Brewer shirt on right now. And I try
as
to come
well
in here
should.
And start the show on somewhat of a positive, Gary, right? Somewhat of a positive with the Brewers. And after last night, it just, I feel like I'm spinning my tires a little bit. I don't know exactly if that's a good way to describe.
Eddie, did you or Tim lose your patience on the post game? Because I saw people begging for you to actually get negative and be pessimistic.
Not necessarily like going screaming, yelling, and hollering and slamming on tables or anything.
Have
but
you guys
I mean,
ever done
you're definitely
that?
frustrated. Timmy was as close to a rant as he used to do with you when they got swept by the Chicago Cubs.
That's when he was almost at his snapping point of losing it.
And that's when we played the clip of him saying, this is rock
bottom,
fill in the
right.
blank, bottom.
And you haven't been close yet this year?
Not as much.
Not yet. Okay.
But in
I don't know how you can be rock bottom, though.
In just like the feeling of excitement level for the playoff chase. Because when you go down and you lose three straight to the team that you're chasing.
That's a sign.
That's a huge sign. And tonight, you're on the brink, Gary, of doing it again to the St. Louis Cardinals, who's now in first place.
They'll get this one tonight.
There we go. That's what Gary Ellerson guaranteeing a W.
Yeah, but that's what they are.
Okay, perfect. Well, here's the deal, though. But the last time they had this opportunity, they were not able to convert. So at this point, if you don't convert,
they'll get this one.
This is as close to being out as you could be. You'd be then 64-63 and pushing 500 for the first time since you were 13-13. When I say Brewers baseball in 2019, you say what? 414-799-1250. Gary, for you, as a spectator, as a fan right now, when I say this Brewers team in 2019, you say what?
That's a good question. Of course, we came up with it, right? I don't get, because there's so many doggone games, you have to ride the wave a little bit. But I don't get over emotional right now with the Brewers because I feel like I've seen enough to know what kind of baseball that they're playing and that I know what they are, and I'm not a numbers guy. I'm more of a what I see guy. I think Steve is too to a certain extent, and Steve has brought this up. But when you look at other teams like the Dodgers, you look at other teams. Well, the Dodgers are way out there. But even if you look at the Cubs. It feels like the Cardinals don't have as much talent as we do, but they do.
Now, they're a damn good baseball team.
Right.
Really
feels
good.
Like they don't, but they do. And we do have some guys that are underachieving or had underachieved, and some guys we expected more out of this year that we just really hadn't got what we thought we'd get. And so you've seen it long enough, and you're just kind of waiting for them to flip the switch. I think most people are. I think you are Billy. And I don't know if there's a switch to be flipped. I think they are what they are at this point, and that is probably around about a 500 team. Most certainly that's what they're playing like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if you can get too high with the highs and too low with the lows. I still think, you know, because of the division where it is, they'll always be kind of tease you to be right there in striking distance. But I just don't think they have enough bros and joes to push them over the top.
And in that sense, when you look at it, Craig Counsell alluded to it last night, and this is a very honest assessment of where he sees his baseball team right now. And with that, as you wait and hope for a switch to be flipped, right? A lot of it is simply because of where they are in the standings.
Right.
But Craig Counsell, for the first time, he's opened up the door and said, you can't necessarily just look at the standings. You have to look at what's inside this clubhouse.
We've got to play better. We're not winning games at a good enough clip to think about the playoffs right now. So that's what has to change. You know, we're still well within striking distance standings-wise. That's really not a concern with this many games left. But we got to play better. You know, we're 3 games above 500, I believe. That's not good enough. We got to, you know, figure out a way to win more baseball games. We got to play better. We got to do a lot of things better. You know, to expect to be a playoff team and to expect to be in this thing till the end and play some meaningful games. So, you know, standings-wise, we're in good shape. You know, we're within striking distance. But I think we all need to increase our level of productivity here to get things moving in the right direction.
We can't think about the playoffs right now. We have to think about what we're doing inside this clubhouse. And that really is an assessment of what we've done in 2019. Coming into the year, yes, we had the makings of a team that could be closer to a 90-win team than an 80-win team. But Sparky, to Gary's point, it feels like they are closer to that 80-win ball club, right around 500, than what the expectations were this year, 90-plus wins.
Yeah, I think the question is, you know, when I see 2019 Brewers baseball, what do you say? Disappointing? Frustrating? Those are words that come to mind for me. I'm very disappointed in this offensive lineup. I really thought at the beginning of the year that this team was going to put up a bunch of runs. I knew there would be question marks about the starting rotation because they had 3 young guys in that rotation. You had no certified stud. Jimmy Nelson was a big question mark. So you knew that there were going to be questions. But I really thought they'd be able to overcome that by scoring a lot of runs and just up and down this lineup. And then Aguilar doesn't produce. He is now, but didn't produce earlier in the year. Travis Shaw doesn't produce, and he's in the minor leagues for the second time. I mean, certain guys you looked at and said, okay, you know, Jesus Aguilar was an all-star, put up another all-star year. Travis Shaw, have another bounce-back year this year. And his numbers were pretty good last year outside of his average, but he did other things well offensively. It just didn't happen. And then you look at some of the other players on this baseball team and who saw Josh Hader kind of becoming a problem at any point this year. That's happened. Corey Knebel gets hurt before the season even starts. There goes your closer role, and you've struggled to find anybody to fill that role outside of Josh Hader. Jeremy Jeffers hasn't been the same guy, so disappointment and frustration, I guess, is how I would sum up the 2019 Brewers baseball team. And we talked about it yesterday. You know, they were 5.5 games out at the beginning of September last year. And it was brought up last night after the game, too, of, you know, we were 5.5 out last year, September 1st, and we figured out a way to get going in the right direction and just have to win series. And Kyle's talking about that. I'm not talking about the playoffs. We're only 2 games over 500. That's not very good. We got to figure out how to win games before we start talking about the playoffs again. And that's very, very true. And seemingly, instead of, you know, being that special type of team where you find ways to win, they're finding ways to lose a lot lately, and that's a problem.
And last night, there was. That was finding a way to lose. When the ball flies off the bat of Dexter Fowler, you're in the middle of a jam, you have the game tied after you finally score here in the series, and the ball falls in the middle of 3 players and right in the Bermuda Triangle, as Ryan Braun wanted to call it last night. You give up 3 runs off a bloop double from Fowler, and at that point, the game was basically over. I mean, as much as you had still 3 opportunities to hit, that game was well done after that point. 414-799-1250. When I say 2019 Brewers baseball, you say what? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. We'll have Ross Tucker, our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, join us around 2:35. We also talk with Ryan Wood Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on the Wendy's Big Show. Woody comes up at 4:48 before the Packers head on up to Canada in the Great White North to play in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, against the team that last night we were all able to watch a little bit more of the drama unfold out in the East Bay, and it is just outstanding stuff. We'll talk a little bit of Hard Knocks and Antonio Brown as well, and Aaron Rodgers on the docket as well. But 414-799-1250 right now, the Brewers have now lost 6 of their last 8 after winning 5 straight, and the season sits at 64-62, 4 games back in the NL Central. Then the wild card is slipping as well, with more teams bundling up in front of the Brewers, 3.5 out of the Chicago Cubs for that place. 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM. The Fan, Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and Gary Ellerson has a place that you need if you are looking for a home improvement on your play.
Yeah, they're building stuff over there. Just like the Brewers are still building. But my good friends
definitely
are
still building.
Yeah, they're still building. My good friends are J&J
renovating
contractors.
Their roster.
Yeah. Renovating, remodeling.
I like that way.
J&J contractors, they can do that. Your home, we're talking about. The interior of your house. I mean, a lot of people probably have their house paid for, and maybe they want to upgrade with it. You know, make it a little bit more creative or do something. You know, a lot of guys, people got these granite, you know, tops now, you know, on the kitchen tables, or a lot of people doing those kind of things. Hey, well, maybe they can do that too. What about your kitchen cabinets? They've probably been in there since you bought the house, and you might want to upgrade your kitchen. Well, they can do that too. Bathrooms. A lot of people are... Bathrooms now are just looking just beautiful. You remember the bathroom that we were in over at Skipper Butts over there? Right?
I became very familiar
with
that.
That's a nice bathroom over at Skipper Butts. They got the nice tile in there. I mean, they do a great job. So a lot of people like to do that double sink, you know, your toilet you want to up, your shower. A lot of people are doing these double head showers now, you know, where you can fit you and the significant other or the wife, both of you guys, and go shower and take a shower together. A lot of people are doing that now these days. Well, listen, my good friends at J&J Contractors can do that and much, much more, guys. Go see them today, J&J Contractors, and that's for Jason.
The record against the teams in front of you might be the reason why Craig Counsell's in motion after last night's game. When I say 2019 Brewers baseball, you say what? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
We've got to play better. We're not winning games at a good enough clip to think about the playoffs right now. So that's what has to change. You know, we're still well within striking distance standings-wise. That's really not a concern with this many games left. But we got to play better. You know, we're 3 games above 500, I believe. That's not good enough. We got to, you know, figure out a way to win more baseball games. We got to play better. We got to do a lot of things better. You know, to expect to be a playoff team and to expect to be in this thing till the end and play some meaningful games. So, you know, standings-wise, we're in good shape. You know, we're within striking distance. But I think we all need to increase our level of productivity here to get things moving in the right direction.
That's manager Craig Counsell last night. Brewers falling for the 6th time in their last 8 appearances. 414-799-1250. This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM. The Fan in St. Louis is where the fall came last night. It ended basically off the bat of Dexter Fowler, and I'll play you the audio here. And Gary, now you've played pro sports. You obviously you coached baseball.
Yeah.
You've been around this game, and you understand what this means. And,
yes.
And for this blunder to go down last night, we had a little bit of fun with it on the post game show, and one man does end up coming up forward, and Ryan Braun says that it was my ball, but at this point in the game's 2-2, you're in the middle of a heat of a pennant race, the team that you're chasing against, they beat you last night, you finally score in the series, and this happens in the bottom half of the 6th inning.
There go the runners, Garrett deals in a swing, and a little lazy pop-up, long run, and that is going to fall, and 3 runs are going to score, and Fowler goes to second base. Boy, what a disaster that was.
I'm not quite sure what Brawny was doing out there in left. I think he thought that somebody from the infield was going to get it. He kind of peeled off and ran by it.
I mean, to give up 3 runs on a hit like that.
Well, you think about the inning. Just a disaster for the Brewers.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster.
It starts with Jeremy Jeffress coming in relief of Gio Gonzalez, who pitched, well, 5 innings, 1 run. That's what you've come accustomed
to. That's
pretty
good.
Jeremy Jeffress comes in, gives up 2 walks, hits a man, doesn't record an out. He's got to go. He's charged with all 3 runs that fall off the bat of Dexter Fowler. After you get Claudio, you get the 1 out, and then instead of sticking with Alex Claudio, who looked good, We go to Junior Guerra, feel we can get out of the inning there, and the bloop single happens. And that is how, if I'm going to answer the question of I say what to what Brewers baseball this season has been, that sure felt like it encapsulated pretty much the entire season.
I think
that inning, the mistrust you have with a guy last year who was an all-star in Jeremy Jeffress, and when you finally are able to feel like you're turning a corner and pushing through and flipping that switch, the switch is dead.
Yeah.
It appears that the outlet is out. You're not able to go anything, and you're going to go down to the switch box, and you're going to have to flip that burner.
No, that's what it felt like. I mean, you're making those kind of errors. I mean, they're like little league errors, too. I mean, that's – whose ball is it? Call it.
And it's got to be bronze if you're coming out in from to the ball.
You see it. I mean, so call them off. And so that was just – but that just epitomized what the Brewers season has kind of been about this year. I mean, if you look at the injuries that they've got, I mean, you've had your pitchers. They were starting to come along. All of a sudden they get hurt. Now
right.
They go back out. Then a week or two later, or maybe a day or two later, another pitcher get hurt. Then I mean, it's just – they just had a lot of – it's what I said about a month or two ago, Billy, just – the specialness that they had last year, they just don't have it this year.
And their
ability—it's just the stuff that happens. It's not happening.
The ability to call upon anybody and get the performance you need was last year seemingly the main storyline of everybody doing a job that you maybe didn't expect them to be able to do in the beginning of the season. The one guy that was kind of an afterthought of the three babies to start the year in the rotation turns into the all-star, and then Sparky Brandon Woodruff finds himself on the IL for the better part of 2 months here as we approach it, and he was the stabilizer in the rotation that even Gio Gonzalez, who a lot of people thought was the missing piece when he came in and everything settled down, he even pointed to it being Brandon Woodruff. And for how it goes through all year long, guys, Corbin Burnes isn't even pitching in games anymore.
Nope, which is what I said, right? Didn't we talk about that? Yeah. Just pretty much being done with him pitching in games.
You said shut him down, Steve, for the rest of the year.
They didn't shut him down. Technically, because they have him in Arizona at this new fancy science lab. They're going to put stuff all over his body. It's going to look like a video game, and they're going to try and fix him physically and all this hocus pocus stuff. Fine,
hocus
whatever.
Pocus.
Yeah, fine, have fun. Whatever works to figure out what the hell is wrong with Corbin Burnes, I'm all for. And then at the end of the season, maybe he'll pitch a game or two to see if any of this science lab stuff works for the Brewers. So, I mean, they don't even allow the public into this thing, Gary. Like, you can't even get
no media,
in there.
Nothing.
So, nobody's
allowed. Is this at Maryvale or not?
This is at the new Maryvale. So, this is where, when we would turn to go into the locker room, if you would keep going out towards it looked like the practice field, they have a whole new lab, sports science lab, where they had Drew Smiley, who's now pitching in the big leagues. They had Shelby Miller work out there. And Brent Suter was rehabbing there now. And now Corbin Burnes is there to get all the high-speed cameras on just to figure out what's going on with them.
And that's why you built the facility, though.
Right.
I mean, really, you need to have a state. I mean, because everybody's got it, and it's all about these numbers. So, I mean, I get what Steve's saying. I know it is hocus-pocus stuff, but, I mean, sometimes that stuff. You know, it's mental.
It's at a whole different level.
It is on a whole, but a lot of
Corbin
stuff.
Corbin Burnes, you're so desperate at this point. Fine, put whatever you want on me. Take whatever camera and video shots you want on me. Analyze it in a computer 30 million times over about arm angle this and arm angle that and figure it out. So they're not giving up on him, though. You know, because if they thought, oh, dude, he's just not fixable, we'll trade him this offseason, you're not doing all this crap. So clearly they still have long-term plans for Corbin Burnes being in this rotation or in the bullpen. So that's a positive sign from that perspective. So what's next? Freddie Peralta get to go in the science lab after the season and figure out why he can't, you know, get through a game without walking somebody? Is he the next one that goes in there?
Well, once Corbin Burnes moves out of the apartment probably that they have across
then
the street,
Peralta
maybe
slides
they do.
In.
Yeah, then he'll slide in. He'll take the next 2 months of rent, and then they'll figure it out
because
with the next guy.
I'm just saying, if it's going to work, then for Peralta should go next. Because if you can solve Peralta's walk problems, then, again, we go back to what this year was supposed to be, which is Woodford, Peralta, and Burnes, and you're back in a situation where you don't have to go spend $20 or $30 million on a pitcher if you can just develop your own guys and keep them in the rotation.
I don't know if you can count on those guys.
But, Gary, what you are doing is, though, is this is the first year this is fully functional. This is the first year of the new spring training facility. This is the first year of maybe the window that David Stearns expected to be opening here in 2019 that opened a couple of years early because of the good performance that you had from some pieces you didn't necessarily expect. Like, this could be the beginning, and when you think about the 2019 season, this is a down year, but if this is a down year where you're playing 500 baseball and cracking open the window to a longer sustained success with those guys and being able to fully now implement all the strategies you want if you're David Stearns, it feels like a positive.
It does, but I wonder what, because we don't hear from a lot of fans, but I just wonder what the Brewer fans are really thinking right about now. I mean, I get what you're saying, and the rebuild was supposed to take 8 years. We're way ahead of schedule. I just really wonder where the Brewer fans' attitude towards the team. I mean, like, are they? I mean, you have the postgame show. Are they disappointed? Or I mean, I know we get the question. What do you say when you say 2019? But I don't even know if I'm disappointed at 2019.
This one is.
I think you're playing with house money.
This one's no heart, no discipline, and underachieving.
See, Chuck Freeman sent some stuff out like that too. I don't know how you question a guy's heart. I mean, when you say no heart, what does that mean? I mean, just that particular statement. That means that they're not trying.
I've tried. They don't figure it out for years. Yeah,
they don't care. What does that no? What's the other one? No heart. What else?
No heart. No discipline.
Discipline though, that's something.
That's something that you can at least somewhat see.
That one you can see.
If anybody, though,
the ball that they let drop, that's discipline.
But for it to be discipline, then you're expecting Craig Counsell to come out rant and raven and call a guy out for missing
well,
it?
Well, he's never going to do that.
Sure. Okay. So, like, in that sense, too, I've always had a problem as a fan trying to figure out what that means. Like, I question the same thing you do when somebody says there's no heart in this team. There's no effort in this team.
No heart.
Wait a second. Now, look. To say it about an entire team is difficult. To say it about certain players, not as difficult. If you don't run out a ball to first base, Acuna just got benched the other day, didn't he?
Sure.
For Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
Got yanked, sat down. Come sit down, young kid. I don't care how good you are. If you're not going to run out a ball, then you're not playing. And they benched him. That's the type of stuff you can do as a manager if you think somebody is dogging it, right? But outside of that in baseball, how else do you see if somebody's not giving it their all? Like a catcher. What, you don't think he moved quick enough to get
exactly.
a ball?
That's what I'm saying.
For me, that's tough. Not running out a ball like Johnny Estrada back in the day, being a dog.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You know, I understand that part of it. Basketball, clear as day when somebody's not playing hard, right?
Yeah.
You can see
that.
You
can tell that.
Football is tough, too.
Football's tough, too.
How can you tell me somebody's not playing hard? Like you always say,
you're going to get hurt
otherwise if you don't do it that way. And so that's a tough deal, too. And that's just a fallback sometimes. For fans to say, well, they're not playing with energy, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you hear coaches say it, like Jason Kidd said it all the freaking time. We just didn't play enough energy tonight. Didn't play enough.
Now
Matt LaFleur is using it for the Packers in training camp. He's using the same cop-out.
Yeah.
So when the coaches are saying it, the fans are going to go, well, coach said it. I'm going to use it too every time they don't play well. And then they're going to say it after the game.
Well, the energy and no heart to me are two different things. The energy is that running from drill to drill, up tempo, coming out of huddle?
Sure.
But that's not heart to me. Heart to me is almost like you just give up and you don't care.
Right, and you're dogging it through the middle of the game.
That's what heart means to me. I mean, it means probably different things to people, but I don't get that.
I've never understood that comment, but in that sense, to each his own.
Yeah.
Dennis is in the UP. He's up on the fan. Hi, Dennis.
Yeah, hi, guys. You know, how many World Series have we won in the last 40 years?
Yeah, none.
Appeared in one.
None?
Well, we've been in one.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think it's just inherently that's what's wrong with the organization. They won't spend money. I mean, they'll spend a dime here and there. They gave Braun a ton of money. Moustakas got what, $18 million a year?
Mm-hmm.
No, he got 10.
When they needed,
right? Huh? Yeah. He got 10. Yeah, Grandal got 18. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
When they needed a pitcher, and Greinke was available, and they're going to spend, they had to spend a ton of money to get him. Then if the ownership is willing to win, then that's what you do. You know, we've never had ownership that has spent money. I mean, Wendy didn't. Selig.
Well, you have seen Mark Antanasio spend an exponentially more amount of money than you did Wendy Selig. I understand that, but to say that Mark Antanasio hasn't spent money to make this team successful, I disagree with.
Well, you need if you want to get a frontline pitcher to save your bullpen, they've been available, and they just haven't spent the money. And Ad Nauseam himself has said, we'll do anything we can to get a, to bring a winner to Milwaukee.
Sure. Yes,
please. I don't see it. And I've been watching these guys since 1958, for crying out loud,
right.
To watch baseball. I don't see it.
Appreciate,
I just don't.
Appreciate the call, Dennis.
1958?
You haven't seen them, I guess, go out and get the top free agent in baseball. You haven't seen them go and spend the $180 million like the Cubs were able to go do on John Lester to start the rotation that then ended up winning a World Series. But they also, there's never going to be the $180 million that comes from Disney to buy rights for 56 games for Brewers baseball. I mean, like, those media contracts are never coming in. As disappointing as it is to say, and the market restraints on the budget, you're just never going to see that money.
Well, there's no competition in the TV market at all. Is there anybody even bidding on or against Fox Sports Wisconsin?
I haven't heard of anybody in the last decade.
Well, 18 and 24 was supposed to be that deal.
With Sinclair.
And Sinclair, and they were supposed to get it. So that's where you hope you can get money from. That's a major company now that has all those regional networks that you're hoping now can take this Brewers team or Bucks team on there, get over-the-air TV, and I don't know if rates change all that much between cable and over-the-air TV, but over-the-air TV definitely brings in a larger audience. I mean, go back to when WMLW used to carry Brewer games once in a while, right? They would always outdraw Fox Sports Wisconsin. Always. And it would only be on like once every couple of weeks
like
or whatever.
Saturday afternoons, too, when people are doing things.
And they would outdraw Fox Sports Wisconsin, what they would do on a given day. So it definitely matters, especially in this market where not everybody has cable or satellite TV at this point. And it's always been a market that's always been near the top or the top of the least amount of people attached to cable or satellite.
And you can be spoiled in the sense of the Green Bay Packers with the revenue sharing that is inherent in the NFL with a hard salary cap, that it is, you are going to be able to survive a little bit more with the national TV revenue and how it is all nationally based and league based on the TV contracts. Here it's all independent. You write your own TV contracts with the people that bid on your own services.
We gotta get to a sports flash quick.
Sure.
That play last night where that ball drops in with Braun and Harris. Did you see the comments from both those two guys after the game? Braun says, hey, I got to die for
it. It's got to be mine.
I got to make the play. Perez opened up everybody's eyes and said what should have been said, which is nobody called it.
Right.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
The problem is nobody called it. Mm-hmm. Dude, how long has Ryan Braun played baseball not to know to call it? How long has Perez played baseball to know that somebody's got to call it? Like, even if it's Perez running on, dude, I'm not going to get it. Even if he just yells, I'm not going to get it.
Can't get
at
there.
At that
can't
point,
get
Braun's
it.
Like, I'll try and what? Just talk. Talk, talk, talk. Don't, I mean, you know, you had youth baseball players. They always are yelling at the kids, talk, talk, talk. Please talk to each other out there. Pros, man. You can't have that stuff if you want to be in the playoffs and be a division winner and that type of stuff. You can't have that.
That sounds like an offensive line coach, just everything he has to say. Communicate. Talk, talk, talk. Ross Tucker knows a lot about that. Former NFL offensive lineman, now radio.com sports NFL insider. He joins us next here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
That is to be determined. It's just, I want to wait and see. You know, I'm not going to say one way or the other right now. So we'll play it. That'll be a game time decision.
Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Bill Baby Tal Schmidt, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson here as well. And we're going to get into a conversation about, Gary, your Wisconsin Badgers here after we talked to Ross Tucker of radio.com sports. The situation, you've always said same old Badgers, and this, I think, exemplifies what you mean by same old Badgers, the conversation about college football recruiting that sparked off today.
Mm-hmm.
They're a program that's going to live and die with themselves and developing talent, and when you're recruiting and spending money on recruiting, as you've talked about the pros and the Joes, It doesn't cost as much to recruit 2- and 3-star guys and develop them once they're on campus as it does the 4- and 5s.
No, and they commit right away. And so they got to go. They don't go anywhere. They got to spend money. They commit right away. And say there's 30 guys in a recruiting class, 28, 29 of those guys are going to graduate. That's what it's all about. And 28, 29 of those guys are going to be 5th-year seniors. because the whole class is probably going to get redshirted. I mean, that's their MO. That's the way they go. That's the way they've done business. Hey, that's their, what you call it? That's their blueprint, or that's their...
That's their business model.
That's their business model.
Yep.
I mean, I heard, what's the coach over at Notre Dame?
Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly was actually talking about that versus Alabama. He says, well, our business model is different from what Alabama business model is. And Wisconsin most certainly has been sticking. I mean, you can almost tell. I mean, look at this kid. I mean, Q Cephas.
Quinton Cephas, who's back on the practice field today, Coach Chris just said.
Right? I mean, look at Florida State and what happened down there. They're not kicking guys off the team unless they're thoroughly doing an investigation first.
Sure.
To find out if these guys are really, really screwing up. At Wisconsin, you're gone. That, to me, all and everything else, that encompasses or typifies Wisconsin versus Alabama versus Florida State versus any of the other program versus Ohio State, any of these other programs that we're I mean, listen, we get on probation on a shoebox scandal where they were just giving away shoes.
Black Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Black Earth.
Not cars for your mom and dad, or not a car for you.
Right.
Not the Reggie Bush where somebody got him an apartment and the mom and dad was staying at the house and all that. Shoes. Shoebox.
That's what investigated here.
That's what we get investigated in probation for. So even that tells you, you know, how this program really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not mad. I mean, I know what this program's all about. And if everybody's talking about national championships, man, you just can't. It's hard to win national championships. I was my buddy Vince Workman, who played at Ohio State. I follow him on Facebook. He's got a picture of him and some guy. They call him Predator for Ohio State. He's got a picture of a guy.
Big number two, Chase.
Did you see this dude?
He is scary looking.
Did you see this dude?
He's the DK Metcalf that ends up playing defensive line.
Woo!
Yeah, he's scary looking.
Did you see this cat?
Yeah, he is a scary looking dude. Number two, you'll see him on the outside of Ohio
State. How about
this?
Ohio State got about 25 of them jokers like that, man.
Mm-hmm.
We got one.
And I think the craziest part of it, too, and this gets sparked by USA Today breaking through today with a Power 5 conference. This is now public schools, and all public schools will have to submit the amount of spending that they have on recruiting and their recruiting expenses, and they define recruiting expenses by the travel and then the stuff that you would put on for the on-campus visits, the either official or unofficials. And Gary, I think this is even more fitting for you because you can go on each spectrum of this. Mm-hmm. The top programs in college football to spend in their recruiting budgets here. This is much over their budgets. But Georgia last year led the country of public schools in the Power 5 Conference with $2.6 million being spent in their recruiting efforts for 2018 alone for football recruiting. They're followed by 2.3 by Alabama, Tennessee at $2 million. Those are all three from
Tennessee
the SEC.
$2 million?
Wow. $2 million. And they've historically been in that realm with Philip Fulmer now taking back over the athletic director part and understanding what it takes and understanding how they have to play at the big leagues. So you, from the state of Georgia, know what that means for the state of Georgia to come after somebody. Your Wisconsin Badgers come in out of 52 public Power 5 conference schools, dead last. By an expense level last year on football recruiting of $350,000.
Yeah. So, when you go to the University of Georgia, right, just for recruiting, and this is what I heard, I don't know if it's actually true or not, but was Leroy Ward allegedly?
Allegedly.
All their recruits, when they pull up, these jokers getting out Escalades, they're getting out of UConn XLs, black, red, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They like
tinted out windows.
Windows all tinted out. Driver. They got maybe one of the cheerleaders or whatever, academic counselors.
Sure.
I mean, mom and dad. I mean, and they're rolling all these jokers through. I mean, they ain't doubling up in cars.
You're not sharing a limo and the guy with the iPad who's your driver has two names on it.
No, No, no.
Says Mr. Ellers.
Those small expenses like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So just think if you're recruited by Georgia and you're recruited by Wisconsin, that's how you're being recruited at Georgia. Where are you going to go?
And there, the access to private planes, like when you talked about your recruiting trip,
mm-hmm.
you've never been on a plane before. For some of these guys to be on airplanes,
yes.
going around for the first time, this is something that these schools in the SEC are giving them the opportunity to do outside of what the Wisconsin Badgers are doing.
And Marquette's got boosters, got private planes. Don't tell me Wisconsin doesn't have boosters that don't have private planes and can't get these guys where they want to get them if they want to get them there.
No, you're right.
You can think,
You're right. But the University of Georgia have their own plane.
Okay,
they own the plane.
That's different.
Yeah.
Right. But you've got boosters in every program that got their own stuff.
That's how they ain't
got
to go ask a booster.
They just got their own stuff.
They got their own plane. Own private plane. Own jet.
And money's not an issue for them to go and rent another chartered plane for an assistant coach.
You're right about boosters can get one, but there's a difference there's a difference between I got my own plane. I got to go ask somebody.
Right. I mean, you have the program, the basketball coach, football coach. Call the booster. Hey, man, can we go check out this kid? Sure, I'll go with you.
He
goes with, and they both go to talk to the kid or whatever the case may be. They get back on the booster's plane, and they go back to wherever they're going.
Yes.
And they're using the booster's plane. To your point, no. You know, as far as I know, maybe they do.
Because you're still spending money.
I don't believe Wisconsin has their own plane.
I don't think they do, Stevie.
Per se, at this point. And you would think that would be a pretty big priority to try and figure out how to get that done if you're Barry Alvarez as an athletic director. But then again, he's also the same athletic director that said nobody's raising their hand to come to Wisconsin. So based on that thinking, I'm not surprised that they don't have their own damn plane.
And that they're dead last out of all college football teams here.
I cannot wait.
The Power Five.
I hope Chris McIntosh is better than Barry.
Who's first?
So the top five teams, and this will not surprise anybody, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, Clemson, followed by Texas A&M, now the host of Jimbo
Georgia,
Fisher.
Alabama, Tennessee,
Texas, Clemson.
That makes sense.
That makes total sense. Followed by A&M, Florida State, Michigan, Penn State, and LSU.
Where's Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Ohio State, now this one will be shocking to a lot of people. They did not spend even over $1 million on their recruiting expenses in 2018.
Well, you know why?
Ohio State comes in at $944,000.
You know why? Because they're in state.
True. They have a crazy amount of talent in that state. A
ton.
It's a very good point. Nebraska ranks higher than them, too, in the Big Ten. Also, the surprise one, number four in the Big Ten, spending $1,081,000 last year. Your boy P.J. Fleck up in Minnesota.
Was he
rowing the boat?
Yeah. Well, he's getting out. And, you know, he's going to try to outwork people.
Sure.
He's going to try to outwork Wisconsin.
Yep.
And they gave him an open checkbook. They told him to go do it. I mean, so we'll see how that program is going to, you know, pan out. But, I mean, if you're starting to look at the West right now, him and who's cat at Nebraska?
Scott Frost. Yep.
They got a lot of young guys now over on the West and see if everything can pan out. But it doesn't surprise me at all the amount of money Wisconsin spent, and they never will because that's really against their academic code too, probably.
Sure, good point.
We're going to keep everything in balance. We're not getting out of whack here.
414-799-1250, Ross Tucker, our radio.com Sports NFL Insider, joins us next here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson here as well. Now we welcome on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, radio.com Sports NFL Insider, and host of the brand new Daily Live podcast, Home and Home, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday on the radio.com app. It's Ross Tucker joining us on the Wendy's Big Show, former NFL offensive lineman, now color guy and one of the best in the business for Westwood One and our radio.com sports insider. Ross, appreciate the time, man.
My pleasure, but I got a question for you guys to start this off. Who are the Milwaukee Admirals?
The Milwaukee Admirals, Ross. Actually, you're talking to the game night host of the Milwaukee Admirals, a minor league hockey team in town.
AHL.
We are hashtag MilHockey.
Oh, that's awesome. So I live in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
And I have season tickets to the Hershey Bears.
Well, then you could see them play the Admirals.
I love it. I have second row seats. Actually, my father-in-law, but I use them a decent amount. Second row seats right next to the opposing penalty box. And honestly, it's the biggest deal in central Pennsylvania. Like, they sell out over 11,000 a night. It's a great atmosphere.
That's
great
awesome.
Place. And honestly, I can't tell the difference between those guys and the NHL guys. It's a bunch of, like, 18 to 24-year-old Canadian and European dudes flying around. They look good to me, and I always offer the dude in the penalty box a sip of my beer. They never take it, but the guys usually wink at me, and they're like, man, I wish. But it's pretty awesome. I've explained to my daughters that they're on timeout. It's pretty hilarious, actually.
So that means
you guys had an AHL team. That's awesome.
So that means, Ross, you married well then, huh?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. My father-in-law has a propane business, so he's got four seats in the second row.
There we go.
For the propane biz, and I got to tell you, there's not a sport in the world that there's that much of a difference between watching on TV and live.
For sure.
No doubt.
Hockey,
TV hockey, I'm just not that into. Hockey in person is amazing. I mean, they look like they're not, their skates aren't even touching the ice. They're flying around, and it's just a great, great product. I love it. I love AHL. That's cool. I just heard right before we came back from break about Milwaukee Admirals. I was like, who's that?
Well, you're ever in Milwaukee, you know where to find us, and then I'll make sure you have the best time at the Milwaukee Admirals and Hershey Bears game.
And they play Hershey, so you can see them there, right there.
No doubt about it.
Your own eyes. They may take your beer. Milwaukee.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, we would. All the players I know would definitely take at least a sip, and probably do a little bit closer to what Baker Mayfield did with the beer at the Cleveland Indians game. Ross, right now, let's talk about those quarterbacks, and the one on the Green Bay Packers isn't as good at chugging beer, but he's looking for a bounce-back year, and Matt LaFleur offense that a lot of people have some question marks as to how he's going to adapt in the new offense.
Well, I think everybody does. And let me just say this to start, right? That chug by Aaron, that was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. It was 1,000%.
It was egregious. And let me just tell you, I'm from Pennsylvania, but I tell people all the time, if I had to live somewhere else, it would be Wisconsin. Because I believe wholeheartedly in your four food groups of brats, beer, ice cream, and cheese. And to have the quarterback of the Packers, the Green Bay Packers, I mean, hopefully it was a spotted cow or something, but for him to be that bad at chugging a beer, I don't know, man. That would affect how I blocked for him. It really would.
Well, to be dairy-free. And he's dairy free. That hurts too.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is not Brett Favre.
No, he's not. Yeah. Favre would be more like Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to have a bounce back year. I think their offensive line will be better. I am a little bit intrigued though with what happens with LaFleur and this offense. There aren't a lot of situations like this where I don't even know if LaFleur is older than Aaron Rodgers, but I guess I do wonder how much Aaron really respects what LaFleur has accomplished. You know, we've all read the stories and heard the reports. Aaron is very bright, and he does not have a lot of patience for people, from what I've been told, that aren't on his level in that regard. So I really hope they get off to a good start, and I hope they get off to a good start. Otherwise, I guess I just wonder, because it's not like LaFleur is coming in with some, like, spotless track record, right? I mean, what has he really done? He was the OC of a bad Titans offense for 1 year. It's kind of a bizarre hire to me still. Now, maybe they'll come out and average 40 points a game. Who knows? I just wonder how much Rodgers respects a guy with such a limited track record.
That is the key, is their relationship and how that goes going forward. The running game is something that Matt LaFleur really wants to emphasize in Green Bay, something that really hasn't been emphasized in Green Bay really all that much during the McCarthy era. Some blame Rodgers for idling out of running plays and going to passing plays, whatever the case may be. But if it's going to be the running game in Green Bay, a lot of people think it's going to be Aaron Jones being that guy. How much do you like him?
I like him a lot when he's healthy.
Yep.
I mean, I think he's clearly the most dynamic guy they have. And every time you watch him in a game, you're like, man, that guy's good. I remember even his rookie year, I called a bunch of Packers games and thought, wow. I mean, I was very impressed. Although, in fairness, I thought Jamal Williams had a couple good games that year, too. But Aaron Jones just seems like he had a different gear than Jamal Williams did. But it seems like he's always banged up or the suspension or whatever. I just don't know if he's a guy that you can really rely on or count on. And I think that's what they're going to try to test this year. I do know, though, that LaFleur's background, you know, being with the Redskins with Mike and Kyle Shanahan, being with Sean McVay, being in Atlanta with Kyle Shanahan, they put a heavy, heavy emphasis on under center, bootlegs, play action, and making the run game go and making the play action look like the run game. So all those things are tied in. I can tell you, as a former offensive lineman, they really put their offensive lineman in a very good position with all the boots, all the outside zone stuff, and then the play action off of it. There is absolutely the potential for them to have a heck of a year if Aaron really buys in, and if the line can get that run game going on a consistent basis. Holy cow, Aaron Rodgers could have a huge year with throws deep down the field.
Ross, I got a couple questions to answer, but I'm going to start because you just brought this up. You say if Aaron Rodgers buys in, what was it that your notion over Aaron Rodgers' tenure with Mike McCarthy that he just didn't buy in with McCarthy from, you know, outside looking in?
Well, I think based on my understanding, it seems like he did early, but then with every year that Aaron got a little bit more knowledgeable, a little more authority, as much as he did maybe when he was younger, maybe that's normal, right? My daughters are 7 and 6. I'm already starting to see it a little bit. It's a lot different from when they were 4 and 5. So maybe that's just the natural course of events, and it's not just Aaron Rodgers. But even reading the Tyler Dunn story, which I know Packers fans hate, but, you know, it certainly seemed like it kept getting worse and worse, and that last year it was downright ugly at times, and maybe rightfully so. I mean, I can remember I have Greg Cosell on my show all the time, the NFL Films guru, and he had even mentioned how it seemed like they were just running isolation routes, one-on-one routes for receivers. It just seemed like on some level the NFL kind of passed Mike McCarthy, or he didn't really keep up with what teams were doing that was really successful. So I think if you're Aaron Rodgers, you better buy in. I mean, you get a much better chance of success if you buy in and give it a shot than if you're stubborn and think, no, this isn't for me.
Talking with our Radio.com Sports NFL insider Ross Tucker here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Ross, what do you think about the two tackles for the Green Bay Packers? David Bakhtiari is coming back again and been one of the best left tackles in the league. And also Brian Bulaga, a veteran that really is under the last year of his contract.
So I think they're top five pair of tackles in the NFL when they're healthy and maybe even very high on that list. I don't know that I would definitely take them over Lane Johnson and Jason Peters in Philly, but they are a darn good pair of bookends. The issue with Bulaga has just been one of durability. Bakhtiari is just a stud. I mean, that was an outstanding fourth-round pick. I mean, to get a guy that's that good of a one-on-one pass protector in the fourth round, I know Ted Thompson had his critics. I was one of them for not being more aggressive in free agency while he had Aaron Rodgers in his prime. You got to give it up and give him credit for what he did with Bakhtiari. That was impressive. I'm a big fan. I'm actually surprised, and maybe I just didn't watch it that closely last year. I didn't call any Packers games. I'm actually surprised that Lane Taylor is fighting for his job with Elgton Jenkins. I kind of thought Lane was a solid player, but I guess they feel like his play deteriorated a little bit. I like Elgton Jenkins. I thought that was a good pick to kind of push all three inside guys, including Billy Turner, and to be that next guy and give them that depth.
Speaking of play deteriorating, Ross, what about Jimmy Graham? What are your thoughts on him?
Well, I think you just got to know what he is, and I think you have to use him in that way. I mean, Mercedes Lewis is going to be the blocking guy. They got the young developmental guy in Sternberger. What you have in Jimmy Graham is a guy that still has rare size and rare body control, and you just have to know how to use it. He doesn't move the way he used to, but I think he can still be very effective red zone, third downs, just because he's such a big target. And with Aaron's quick release and the back shoulder stuff, they should still be able to do some stuff. And it seems like Jimmy's pretty motivated to prove that.
Ross, as you look at this defense and you see Mike Pettine being retained in a situation where kind of felt like he may have been forced on a Matt LaFleur, and your experiences in the league, how has that worked out for teams where you have a guy who, in Mike Pettine, he's been a defensive coordinator now, this is his third stop, but he's also been a former head coach for a first-year guy in Matt LaFleur who is going to have all he can handle in Aaron Rodgers getting the buy-in while also implementing his new offense?
Well, so first of all, I think Pettine's a stud. I mean, you look back, Baltimore, the Jets, Buffalo, even when he was Cleveland's head coach, do you realize, I think it was his first year there, the Cleveland Browns were 7-4 with Brian Hoyer as their quarterback, and their two first-round picks, Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert, hadn't done anything for the team. So Pettine has kind of proved myself. I thought the Browns were idiots to fire him.
No doubt.
And I still have to think that. They fired him for Hugh Jackson and just went much, much worse. So I think he's a stud, and I think they've gotten him some good dudes. I was a little puzzled by the Mike Daniels thing, but Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Savage, Adrian Amos, to go with the guys he already had. I think that defense will be much improved. There are some head coaches that really care about that. Other head coaches that, you know what, I'm fine with keeping Mike Pettine. I think he's good. I don't have my own guy I need to bring in. I'd rather have some continuity on the defensive side of the ball as I change stuff on the offensive side of the ball. And it probably helps LaFleur to have a guy like Pettine, who was a head coach recently, to be like, look, here's what I did that I think was really good. And here's where I really screwed up. Shouldn't do this. Shouldn't do that. You should try to do this. I would recommend any first-time head coach to always have at least one other guy that was a head coach, especially if it was recently on their team.
Ross, appreciate the time, man. Appreciate the insight. And you know our guy, Mitch Rosen, now our boss here, Radio.com Sports Insider. You are. Next time you're in Milwaukee, talk to Mitch, and we'll set it up that you're sitting ice rink with us at the Milwaukee Admirals Hershey Bears game. We'll have a lot of fun.
I love it. Sounds great to me, man. Thanks having me, guys.
Appreciate it, man. That's Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider and host of the brand new daily live podcast, Home and Home with Dave Briggs, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern mornings, Monday through Friday on the Radio.com app. Ross Tucker joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. 414-799-1250. This is the Wendy's Big Show. Talking Aaron Rodgers, and Ross Tucker had his question marks on Aaron Rodgers' buy-in to Matt LaFleur's system. Pro Football Focus might also. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.